Végignéztük az elmúlt néhány hétben a magánhangzókra vonatkozó kiejtési szabályokat. Foglalkoztunk azzal, hogy milyen magánhangzó osztályok vannak, úgynevezett feszes és laza magánhangzók, tense lax vowels, megnéztük ezeknek a váltakozásait, megnéztük azt, hogy viselkednek a magánhangzók R mással hangzó előtt, hiszen ez egy speciális jelensége legalábbis a brit standard angolnak. Most pedig erre úgy tennénk fel a koronát, hogy megnéznénk, hogy a magánhangzók kiejtése, illetve a helyesírása között milyen kapcsolat látszik. Ez egy olyan terület, ami eléggé el van hanyagolva általában az angol tanítással kapcsolatosan, erre már többször tettünk utalást, és ez azért probléma, ugye, mert az angolnak a helyesírása az egy nagyon nehezen megjósolható valami. Most kísérletet teszünk arra, hogy legalábbis a szabályos szavak, a szabályos helyesírású szavak esetében olyan fajta szabályokat adjunk mindenkinek a kezébe, amelyeknek a segítségével egy szabályos helyesírású ismeretlen szó esetében is el lehet dönteni, hogy a szóban található hangsúlyos magánhangzót azt hogyan kellene ejteni. Ehhez szükség lesz az összes eddigi szabályra, tehát a magyarázat erre az, hogy azért most foglalkozunk ezzel, mert mindazokra a szabályokra, amelyeket eddig megtárgyaltunk, azokra szükség lesz, és hát kiváló alkalom volt az, hogy mindenki megírta a dolgozatot, most mindenki be frissen él és fortyog az eddigi tudás, és akkor az azt jelenti, hogy most mindenki menetre kész ahhoz, hogy ezzel foglalkozzunk egy kicsit. Okay, so the topics that we are going to be concerned with are the following. On the one hand, first we are going to take a look at the possible pronunciations, regular pronunciations of the single vowel letters of the language. Then about the vowel digraphs, we'll do the same. Then we'll take a look at the possible so-called graphic positions, that is the environments in spelling in which vowel letters may be found. And as a result of that, we'll be able to give what we call the two very important letter-to-sound rules of the language. And then after that comes the usual bad news part, the exceptions. You can see that about 40% of the lecture is going to be concerned with exceptions, because there are very, very many such words and expressions in the language. Okay, so let's start with the pronunciation of single vowel letters. In the top row of the chart, I listed all the single vowel letters of the language. There are very few of these, if you compare English with Hungarian. In the first column, you can see the four different pronunciation values of each vowel letter because, and here comes the first shock, you may say again, because English is a language which is quite different from Hungarian in the sense that while in Hungarian, each vowel letter has one regular pronunciation. In Hungarian, the vowel letter, let's say, ö, is always pronounced as ö, okay? Then there's no exception to that. In English, it is quite different. For instance, the vowel letter a may be pronounced either as a or as r, still a diphthong, or as a short vowel a or as a long vowel r. Okay? These four pronunciations are all normal, regular pronunciations of the vowel letter. And then we also have to add something which is not found in the chart, that each vowel letter, unfortunately, will have quite a number of irregular, exceptional pronunciations. And this is exactly what we'll be concerned with in the second half of the lecture. Okay, so here is the answer to some of the questions that you might have been asking yourself. You know, why are we doing this? Why are we studying? Why do we have to study tense and lax and breaking and broadening? This is the reason why, because simply each vowel letter will have two tense pronunciations and two lax pronunciations. So if you know what lax vowels and tense vowels are, this is something that you'll be familiar with. Within the tense values, we will be able to distinguish between the two normal tense versions of a vowel, namely plain tense pronunciations. Remember, these are the ones that you will find in almost any kind of position, except for in a position where an R consonant follows. In this very position, on the other hand, you will find the broken tense pronunciation of the vowel. So for instance, you will have words like make, where the vowel letter A is pronounced as A, and you will have words like care, where the vowel letter A is pronounced as an R diphthong. If the vowel letter is pronounced as a lax vowel, you still have two choices. Either you pronounce it as a plain lax vowel, remember, again, typically in positions where there is no R consonant following it. While if it's followed by an R, you will use the broad lax pronunciation. Again, compare the plain lax pronunciation of the vowel letter in words like cat or mad versus the broad lax pronunciation in words like star or card, okay, where you have the long R because of the presence of the R after the vowel. For all the vowel letters, basically this is the same. There are two exceptional parts, slightly exceptional parts though. Let me point out the fact that the vowel letter O, although having four pronunciations, two of these actually collide because the broken tense O and the broad lax O pronunciations collide. Remember, we already mentioned a historical fact about it, namely that the third type of O, remember there were three types of O in the in present day BBC English, the third type of O used to be a diphthong. It was pronounced as O-a. Even 100 years ago, we still have old or elderly native speakers of BBC English who pronounce the vowel as a diphthong. As a result of this, O basically has three different pronunciations because two of them are the same. And in the case of the vowel letter U, we have to mention an extra rule that we'll be concerned with at the end of the year, at the end of the semester, I mean, namely the fact that sometimes the Y part at the beginning of the vowel is present, sometimes it is deleted, sometimes it is dropped. It is regulated by a separate rule, which we call Y dropping. This is something that we'll be concerned with when we talk about the consonants of the language, so at the very end, sometime in early May. Vowel digraphs are the next. Vowel digraphs are combinations of letters, typically two vowel letters, sometimes with a vowel letter followed by a consonant letter like Y or W. But these digraphs, these letter combinations, always stand for one particular vowel sound in spelling. You can see that in this case, we normally don't have four different pronunciation values, just two. And the explanation is very simple, as you can read at the very top of the slide. Vowel digraphs normally have tense pronunciation values. As a result of this, we will only have to distinguish between the plain tense and the broken tense values for these vowel letters. The only exception to that is found at the very bottom of the slide, AU and AW in words like saw, for example, have a broad lax pronunciation only. This is the only regular pronunciation that they have, and you can see that this is the third type of O, well, actually the first type of O, the lax R-less variant, which is not followed by the consonant R in spelling either. Okay, a few notes about these pronunciation values and the spellings. The first one is that those digraphs which may either end in an I or a Y, like AI versus AY, similarly, those which may end either in a U or a W, like AU, AW, for instance, follow a very simple tendency, we may say. I wouldn't say a rule, because there will be exceptions, of course, but at least there is a strong tendency in the usage. Namely, the variants which end in I or U, that is the vowel letter variants, which are fully spelt with two vowel letters, typically appear inside a word. So not in word final position, but in word medial position. You can see lots of examples like fair, Europe, our, source, and so on and so forth. While the variants which contain the Y or the W at the end respectively will typically occur in word final position. So you will find bay, obey, boy, claw, and so on and so forth. Notice, however, that this is again, unfortunately, not an exceptionless rule in the language, because there will be many cases in which the Y or W variants will appear not in word final position, but inside a word like town, powder, bowl, and so on and so forth. Okay, so now we are done with the pronunciation values. I'm sorry to say this is something to be memorized, okay? This is something to be learned, but hopefully by this time you are mostly familiar with the different pronunciation values of the vowel letters from the practical exercises. Now, the next topic is the other half of the story. Namely, it's concerned with graphic positions. That is, the position of a vowel letter inside a word and the surrounding vowel letters and consonant letters, or maybe word initial, word final position. The two types of graphic position that we'll be concerned with, as you can see, are called free graphic position and covered graphic position. Magyar terminus technikus általában fedett, illetve szabad grafikai helyzet. And there are a few abbreviations that we use. The capital V normally will stand for a vowel letter. Be careful, here we are talking about letters, not sounds. Okay, so capital V stands for a vowel letter. Capital C, of course, stands for a consonant letter. And there are two further letters that we are going to use. The capital S is going to represent a consonant letter which is pronounced, here pronunciation also comes into the picture, which is pronounced as a stop sound, which means one of the six stop consonants of English, p, t, k, or b, d, g. Ha valakinek magyar óráról esetleg vannak ilyen kellemes emlékei, akkor itt vissza tudunk csatolni a zárhangokhoz. Jó, tehát a zárhangokat jelölő betűket fogjuk itt a nagy S-sel jelölni. Nem tudom, ki emlékszik erre még középiskolában, általános iskolában szokták mondani, hogy ezeket könnyű megjegyezni. Az egyik a patak szóban található, meg az egyik három, a másik meg a bádok szóban vannak benne. Ez valakinek még esetleg ismerős lehet. And the capital L letter will be used to refer to letters which are pronounced as one of the two liquids, one of the two liquid sounds. We are not really familiar with this notion yet, so let me just say a capital L will represent a letter which is pronounced as either a L consonant or a R consonant. So capital L stands for L or R, basically, that's the point. If you take a look at the covered and free positions, you can see that altogether there are six types of graphic positions which are classified into these two major groups. Let's start with the covered positions because there are fewer subtypes, only two. The very last one is a simple one. We claim that a stressed single vowel letter is in covered graphic position in type number six if it is followed by a consonant letter, and that consonant letter is word final. Remember, the double cross, the hash mark symbol represents a word boundary, so this is the end of the word. As a result of this, you will find many sample words like spam, fit, her, spot, and so on and so forth, in which the underlined vowel letter is followed by just one consonant letter, which is capitalized here, and that is word final. The second type of covered position is one in which the underlined stressed single vowel letter is followed by at least two consonants. At least, remember, it can be more. It's okay if you have three or four or even more consonant letters than that, but you must have at least two. So in words like bank, thunder, yacht, and first, this is exactly what's going on. On the other hand, if you take a look at free graphic positions, you will see four subtypes. Some of them are relatively simple, but there is one which is a bit tricky, and we'll concentrate on that in the end. Let's start with the simpler ones first. Number four, very simple. If the stressed single vowel letter is word final, it's not followed by any other letters, we are going to say that it is in free graphic position. So words like my, so, be, and fly will be very good examples for this. Let's jump to the first one, because this is a bit simpler than the others. Again, a position in which the stressed single vowel letter is followed by one particular type of letter, and namely, it is a vowel letter. So in words like dial, going, doer, the stressed underlined single vowel letter is followed by yet another vowel letter, and as a result of this, it is said to be in free graphic position. Slightly more complicated is number two, where the stressed single vowel letter is followed by a consonant letter and then a vowel letter, in words like bake, mute, care, hocus pocus, and so on and so forth. The underlined vowel letters are in all cases followed by a capitalized consonant letter and then again a capitalized vowel letter. And then we get to the very last type, which is a bit problematic for a very simple reason. Namely, it might seem at first sight that the examples that we have in number three are in conflict with what we have in number five. Well, not really a conflict, but basically it will be very difficult to decide which class these words should fall into. Simply because if you take a look at the capitalized letters in these words, you will see that normally there is the underlined stressed single vowel letter, and following this you will find two consonant letters in all the cases, which is very similar to what we had in number five. However, there is a very important difference, there are two important pieces of difference here. On the one hand, in number five, you cannot have a combination in which the first consonant letter represents a stop sound, and the second consonant letter represents a liquid, that is a L or a R kind of consonant. On the other hand, this is exactly what you will find in number three. In apron, you have a P, which is a stop, and a R, which is a liquid. Cyclone, again, a K, which is a stop, a L, which is a liquid. In maple, P is a stop, L is a liquid. And ogre, G is a stop, R is a liquid. So these are all combinations where you have a stop followed by a liquid. And this is something that will never be found in number five. There are cases when there is a stop consonant, like in bank, k is a stop, but it is preceded by a nasal, so this is no good for three. Again, in thunder, d is a stop, but n is a nasal, so it's no good for number three, and so on and so forth. On the other hand, the other difference between three and five is the fact that in three, in the free graphic position type, you must have a vowel letter following the two consonant letters as well. While there is no such requirement in number five, it may just as well be the case that the two consonant letters are word final, as in bank, or they are followed by further consonant letters, as in yacht and first. Okay, so this way, it is always possible to classify words unambiguously without any uncertainty into one of these six categories. Okay, the presence or absence of the y in pronunciation, as we said, for the vowel letter u, is something that we will discuss later, so let's just skip this slide and we'll come back to this. We will get feedback on the very same topic when we discuss letter to sound rules for the consonants for the yod. Let's take a look at the two rules instead that are the topic of discussion now. As a combination of the graphic positions and as a combination of the different pronunciation values of the vowel letters, we may come up with two very simple rules. The first one is often referred to as the free position basic rule, which claims that stressed single vowel letters in a free graphic position are normally pronounced as tense vowels. So a very simple correlation between position and pronunciation. And the other one, well, surprise, surprise, will say just the opposite, namely that if a stressed single vowel letter occurs in a covered graphic position, it will have one of the lax pronunciation values. If we go back to the chart, you can actually check this very simply. In spam, fit, her, and spot, you have just lax vowel pronunciations. Same holds for bank, thunder, yacht, and first. So these are really all lax vowels. If someone doesn't believe me, you know, don't take my word for granted. Go home, check your books, check your dictionaries. This is a pure fact. You will find that all these vowels are lax. While on the other hand, if you take a look at the sample words for the free graphic position columns, you will find that they all contain tense vowels. For instance, bake, mute, care contain typically diphthongs, and we know that diphthongs are all tense vowels, and so on and so forth. Okay, so these are the two rules. And let me just draw your attention to the fact that that both of them say normally, which is a bad sign. It means that there are, you know, abnormal cases as well, where the vowel letters will be pronounced not according to one of these two rules, but according to some other principles, or maybe without any principle, just as real exceptions. One thing to remind you of is the fact that these two rules only refer to stressed single vowel letters. So they are two very important characteristic features that you must bear in mind, which means that these rules do not refer to unstressed vowels. Unstressed vowels behave in a very different way. This is something that we'll see in the next semester. And also the fact that it only refers to single vowel letters, so vowel digraphs are not included here. Why? Very simple. At the beginning of the lecture today, we just saw that vowel digraphs are normally pronounced as tense vowels. If they are always pronounced as tense vowels, with one exception, if you recall AU and AW, we do not really need a rule to determine whether it's a tense or a lax pronunciation. Now let's take a look at the types of exceptions. First, just the types, and then we'll take a look at the details. The exceptions may fall into two classes. There will be those cases when for some reason the vowel letter does not obey the free position basic rule or the covered position rule. That is, the pronunciation of the vowel letter is not what you would expect. The tense or lax value of the vowel letter is wrong. These are referred to as tenseness reversals, because you reverse the correct tense lax value of the vowel letter. While there will also be cases, even worse exceptions, I may promise or threaten, whichever you find more attractive, which are problematic in the sense that There it's not really the tenseness of the laxness or the laxness of the vowel letter or the vowel sound in pronunciation that is problematic, but rather the fact that the vowel letter will not be pronounced with one of its traditional normal four regular pronunciations. Remember, we saw for the vowel letter A that it may be pronounced either as A, L, A, or A. Now, there are lots of words in English in which there is a vowel letter A, but it is not pronounced like one of these four values, but it's pronounced, let's say, with a long O vowel, like call or wall. Those are the real bad exceptions, and these are very often called quality deviations, okay? Because the pronunciation quality of the vowel letter deviates from the standard, from the normal. Let's take a look at tenseless reversals. Remember, these are cases where you get just the opposite of what you would expect on the basis of the two main rules that we've had, preposition basic rule and the covered position rule. First, let's start with the covered position rule, or rather with the tenseless reversal type of exception to the covered position rule. Here, again, the bad news is that I cannot give you a sub-rule or a principle according to which you would be able to judge whether something is going to be exceptional or not. Unfortunately, here we can just provide a list of words which are typically, which are typical examples or prototypes that of what do not obey the rule. However, there is a hint that we can give. There are certain endings which are typically problematic, which are typically exceptional. If you take a look at words which end in IND in spelling, like bind, kind, and find, and mind, and lots of others. IGHT, like fight, light, might. Then words containing ANGE, like range, manger, and so on and so forth. So there are some typical endings, word endings, which are problematic, which are exceptional. If you remember these, then you will have a good chance of predicting even problematic, exceptional words. As far as the tenseless reversals for the free position basic rule are concerned, I have good news at last. Namely, that the exceptions that we have to cover here will be such that we already know about them. We already talked about them. Namely, when we talked about the laxing rules, the vowel shift. Because if we want to modify the original free position basic rule a bit, then we may add an extra clause in which we can also cover the exceptions. Namely, we may add what you can see in italics at the end. Stress single vowel letters in free graphic position will be pronounced tense unless there is a rule which requires that they should be pronounced as lax, which means unless some of the laxing rules will apply. The laxing rules are no else but the ones, the good old friends, enemies, again, depends on the individual, that we already heard about. Trisyllabic laxing is one of them. These examples are such that the underlined vowel letter is always in free graphic position, however, the pronunciation is lax. This is simply because the vowel letter is in a trisyllabic position. Then we get laxing endings. Remember, certain suffixes, or not even suffixes, but simple sequences of sounds like ik, id, ish will trigger the laxness of the preceding vowel. Laxing by free u, again, is something that we already heard about. CIV laxing, vowel letter I followed by a consonant letter, another I, and one more vowel letter. And here I just included as a reminder, remember the opposite of CIV laxing, when just the opposite is required. In a CIV position, other vowel letters, other than I mean, will be pronounced as tense. And there are also irregular tenseless reversals. Now, this is the last topic that we are going to discuss today. And we'll take a look at the quality deviations next week. Irregular tenseless reversals in the sense that these are cases when none of the laxing rules will be able to apply, but for some reason the pronunciation of the vowel letter is still problematic. It's still not what you would expect. These will typically occur in monosyllabic words, that is, words of one syllable, or
The other choice is disyllabic words, the first syllable of disyllabic words, words of two syllables. And what we suggest is that very often it happens because the pronunciation of the words reflects a pronunciation in which speakers pronounce the vowel letter as if the final silent vowel letter, which is typically a silent vowel letter E, was not there. Let's take a look at the examples. Irregular tenseless reversal in the last syllable or the only syllable of the word. Are and have, were and allege, live and give. Live as a verb, be careful because the adjectival form live is completely regular. That's the good guy. Live, the verb, is the bad guy because it has irregular pronunciation. Then we have gone and shone with a short lax o pronunciation. If the spellings of these words were regular, then the pronunciations should be such that the vowel letters should be pronounced with the tense values. So have should behave, and live should be live, and give should be give. But, you know, they are not pronounced like that. And in the second column, you can see irregular tenseless reversals in the second last syllable, that is, counting the syllables from the end of the word again. Problematic vowel is the second last, so you have cabin, Latin, salad, atom, lemon, tenon, city, PT, and so on and so forth. Many, many words. The really unfortunate thing is that many of these words, again, are absolutely common, frequently used words of the language. So it is a problem for the language learner, because at the very beginning, you will come across lots of irregular words. And as a result of this, you don't really have a choice of, you know, spotting the pronunciation and spelling rules of the language, because these words are going to mix you up, because they will confuse you in the sense of figuring out or being unable to figure out what the regular pronunciation values of the vowel letters are. Next week, we are going to continue with quality deviations. Quality deviations are also going to fall into two subcategories. There will be one that you will like, because there will be very few examples to learn. And there will be another one which you will just hate, you know, like hell, because there will be hundreds of words falling into those categories. And the real bad news, again, is that those words, those hundreds of words, are also very common, frequently used words of the language. Something that we already know, but at least now we will have a choice to see why these words, or in what sense these words are problematic, and in what sense they can be classified into smaller classes, to give you at least a hint of what kind of principles of spelling are at work there. Okay, so this is where we finish. We are going to continue from here next week. Thanks for your attention. Don't forget to download the materials if you haven't done so far. And we will have the test results next week. Okay? Thanks for your attention. See you later.